Urban Radio Show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And as we were mentioning before, the White House has finally been forced to turn over some of their emails to Congress regarding Benghazi, and they are already contradicting the White House's version of events that all of the modifications to the talking points came from the CIA. And one of the emails that surfaced was from former head of the CIA, David Petraeus, who said, frankly, I don't want to use this. And he was objecting to Obama's version of what happened in Benghazi, which, of course, is the reason he was forced out of his position, supposedly for an extramarital affair. And I don't approve of extramarital affairs, but let's face it, if you're going to start firing people over having a little on the side, half of Washington, D.C. would be cleaning out their desks right now. And so it's obviously very much coming out that the White House was lying about Benghazi. They're lying about who was changing the narrative about Benghazi. They're looking for somebody to pin it on. And every one of these revelations that comes out continues to support my theory that what happened at Benghazi was supposed to be a staged event that Obama could use to reassure his reelection chances, and it got horribly, horribly out of control. And that's the big, deep, dark, ugly secret they're trying to keep, and that's why they're throwing up this IRS thing as a distraction. The Department of Justice went after AP to try and scare the corporate media into basically going along with the agenda of pay no attention to Benghazi. It's a sideshow. Go over here and rag on the IRS because everybody hates them anyway, and those guys are used to it. But the AP story has now blown up into a scandal of its own accord, and the original IRS story of harassing the Tea Party has now bloomed way beyond that. Very, very poor decision-making on the part of the White House planners. Now, then, getting back to the gun grabber issue. Down in Missouri, there is an individual named John Negri, West Plains, Missouri, small businessman, who has offered free land to any gun manufacturer that's located in a state passing these ridiculous gun laws to move to Missouri and set up business there and create jobs. He's just going to give them the land to get them over there. It's a huge incentive. Over in Robeson County, North Carolina, a new ammunition company is setting up business there, going to create 150 jobs. Meanwhile, very interesting story came out a little earlier today, how the White House is now launching a campaign to convince the clergy of America to promote gun control. Remember that old thing about separation of church and state? Obviously, the White House doesn't seem to feel all that much about it. They want your pastors, your ministers, your fathers, your rabbis, your imams, whatever, to use their churches to convince everybody that God hates guns. You've got to surrender. Guns are the tools of the devil, unless you're in the armed forces, and then, of course, you're doing God's work. And along the line of all these distractions that they're just throwing out there like spaghetti on the wall, trying to take the focus off Benghazi, to a lesser extent, IRS and DOJ scandals, they ran this story earlier today, long after the events are already over. It took a long time, supposedly, for this to come out, that the Boston bombing suspect, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, wrote a note on the inside of the boat he was hiding in while bleeding to death from the earlier gun battle. Didn't have a gun, but somehow managed to have himself a ballpoint pen. And even though he was bleeding and dying, he wrote a note in which he basically said, oh, Muslim this, Muslim that, and I'm not buying this. And from the email I'm getting, nobody else is buying this. It's just an attempt to so demonize the Tsarnaevs in the media to cement the official myth, even as more and more evidence of cover-up, fraud, and deception continue to surface. We'll be right back.
A American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Fear and hate will rule them, said the demon to the roll. In shackles we will bind them, but to the terror they'll be shown. As mindless slaves they will not think, blind eyes they will not see. They'll jail themselves and call the bars Homeland Security.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, Obama had a press conference together with Turkey's Erdogan talking about the Syrian crisis. And obviously, when you have a whole bunch of domestic scandals at home, what do? You go and start dropping bombs on other people as a distraction. Like I said, Clinton did it on the day that Monica Lewinsky was testifying about stains on her blue dress before Congress. Clinton ordered a cruise missile attack on an aspirin factory in Sudan, claimed it was a biological weapons laboratory, turned out to be wrong. You, the American taxpayer, not only paid for those $1 million each cruise missiles, you got to pay to rebuild the aspirin factory when the owners sued for wrongful destruction. So Syria is definitely in play, and once again, my hat tip has to go to Vladimir Putin, who's trying to keep this thing from going any further than it already has. We already know that Russian Black Sea naval vessels are basically tooling around the eastern Mediterranean. They are now being joined by Russian warships from Russia's Pacific Fleet. They have transited over to enter the Mediterranean. They're planning on docking in Cyprus. I think it's a total of 11 Russian warships now in the area. They are sending a clear message. Do not go into Syria. Do not go into Iran. And unfortunately, you know, Israel's belligerence is continuing. And right now, Obama needs the war to escalate as a distraction from the deteriorating economy and all of these scandals, which they brought on themselves. It's all self-created crises, and nobody in that White House is able to stand up and actually accept responsibility for what they've done. They're dumping it on the Department of Justice. They're firing the acting head of the IRS, who was going to leave next month anyway. They're just finger-pointing. That's how politicians are. They'll take credit for anything good that happens, even if they had nothing to do with it. And anything bad happens, they find somebody to blame. It's Emmanuel Goldstein. Go have your two-minute hate about him. Now, Israel is backpedaling from their use of white phosphorus in Gaza. And the whole world saw the photos, even though Israel was trying to prevent electronic communication from getting out of Gaza to the world. It didn't succeed. People found ways around that. And as a result, there is now a court case coming up regarding the use of white phosphorus. It is a banned munition. The only exception is use as an illumination device, which means you have it up in the sky on a little parachute flare to light up the ground below. But when you're just showering it all over residential areas, and it will start fires, it's classed as a chemical weapon. It is banned under international law, and there are some legal ramifications coming up in the international courts of law. Israel recently stated they were going to abandon the use of white phosphorus. We're now getting the fine details, and it turns out, once again, Israel left itself a little trap door. They're saying the Israel's ban on white phosphorus is not a law. It is merely a policy, and we know policy can be changed with a phone call. So they're weasel wording their way around it. They're trying to act like, yes, they recognize using white phosphorus is wrong, but they're going to go back to using it anytime they feel they have a need to do so. Now, we were talking yesterday, in fact, about how these ultra-right-wing Israelis stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque, guarded and escorted by Israeli armed forces. And it was a clear provocation. Now, that whole Temple Mount area, and frankly, as much as I love history and archaeology and all the rest of that, I think the best thing could happen to planet Earth is a meteor hit that place and just erase it from the planet, calm everybody down. But the Temple Mount is segregated by religion. The United Nations declared Jerusalem an international city to be shared among all the religions because of all the important religious sites that are there. And there is a section for Jewish worshipers and a section for Muslim worshipers and a section for Christian worshipers. And of course, the Jewish worshipers, they want it all. And so the other day, these Israeli right-wingers stormed into the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is not part of the Jewish faith and not supposed to be part of their area. And it's a provocation. They're hoping the Muslims will strike back because then Israel has an excuse to launch another atrocity. Upping the ante on that, we hear that Israeli Knesset member Mordechai Yugev is now demanding a Jewish synagogue to be built in the Al-Aqsa Mosque courtyard. Right in front of the mosque, he wants to put up a synagogue. And that, too, is an intentional provocation. Now, the provocations are continuing in a whole bunch of directions. Israel's Netanyahu has sent a warning message to Syria's Assad, that they're going to, Israel's going to go on bombing Syria, and you'd better not strike back. We will bring you down if you retaliate from the future airstrikes. So Israel's psychotic worldview is they have a right to bomb anyone, anywhere, at any time, but the people being bombed have no right to fight back, which is kind of how they treat the Palestinians, if you think about it. Now, Iran's foreign minister has come out to say that Assad is so far unimpressed by Israeli attacks. I think it's an unwarranted piece of bravado. But he did include the comment that Syria will retaliate the next time Israel conducts an airstrike bombing mission over Syria. So now the stage is set for Israel to go in and bomb another chicken ranch inside Syria. Assad will strike back because he can only wait so long before his own people start saying, look, you've got to fight back. And that, of course, is what Netanyahu wants. The instant Syria launches an attack back, Israel has an open door to go in and flatten Syria. And this is Israel's standard operating procedure. We've seen it time and time again. Poke, 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 until somebody reacts, and then that reaction is declared the unreasonable, unprovoked attack on Israel, and the full-on war gets launched. And again, let's see, we're seeing this being reported over in the New York Times. Israel's dropping hints they're going to attack Syria again and warning Syria, do not dare hit back at us. Does that even make sense? I think only in the mind of Netanyahu is that a reasonable statement. That's like the Confederacy telling Washington, D.C., we're going to bomb Fort Sumter and don't you dare fight back at us. Of course, we know what Netanyahu's really doing. He's daring Assad to strike back. He wants Assad to strike back. Because then Israel and its obedient corporate media, who right now at the moment may not be as obedient as it was before, will claim that Syria's attack is the provocation. Oh, these little bombing runs by Israel into Syria, that was nothing. But Syria attacking Israel, that is the start of the war. And then they'll be off into Syria, and the U.S. will go in right alongside them. And Russia's going to do whatever Russia's going to do. I don't think Russia will directly militarily intervene in Syria. But they will feel perfectly justified in starting to pour as much weapons and material and support as they can into Syria to turn it into the new Vietnam as they promised they were going to do. Why is Israel so hot and bothered to get Syria right at this moment? And by the way, latest report is Israeli armor and artillery is gathering in the Golan. They're getting ready to do this. Pull the plug. Could happen in the next few days. And Obama's going to say, yes, the media's got something else to talk about. Why has Netanyahu got such a burr under his saddle regarding Syria? Well, because this attempt to overthrow Assad has been going on for over 2 years, almost 2.5 years now. And the longer Syria withstands this, the more it undermines Israel's illusion of invulnerability or invincibility. They're not succeeding. Neither is the United States. It's embarrassing. These great nuclear powers are not able to get Assad out of office. And what that does is it encourages other countries that are being targeted by the U.S. and Israel to put on more of a resistance. The reason the Blitzkrieg worked in World War II was the first couple of countries the Nazis went into just collapsed. And every other country downwind was saying, we can't even begin to fight. Look how easily they got knocked over in these other countries. And nation to nation to nation to nation. But when the U.S. and Israel go in and try and overthrow Syria, and Syria survives for 2.5 years, all the other nations are saying, I guess the U.S. and Israel aren't as tough as we've been told. So let's dig in our heels and resist this incursion, this dollarification, this forced return to Bretton Woods. And that's what it's really all about, saving face. Assad's survival this long is a serious political embarrassment to both the United States and Israel. And Israel's got its own political embarrassments right now. Israel likes to bill itself as one of the world's providers of the most advanced drones, mostly because they take the money Congress gives them and they go out and buy drone companies, ship them to Israel and say, hey, we're Butch, we're the best. But apparently, there was another case where an Israeli drone was hijacked by a third party with the intention of steering it to a friendly landing field, like they did to that U.S. drone, and Israel wound up having to shoot down their own drone to keep it from falling into the hands of whoever hijacked it. That's another huge embarrassment, that Israel's drones aren't as advanced as we've been told. All righty. Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency have wrapped up their 10th round of nuclear talks. Depending upon who you talk to, they made significant progress or they hit a brick wall. And again, what came out of it that was concrete was Iran will do everything it needs to prove their nuclear program is peaceful. Of course, that's not what the U.S. and Israel want. They want Iran to scrap all their nuclear industry, their power station, medical isotopes. It's an, you know, all or nothing deal as far as they're concerned. We'll be right back.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you've got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're still talking about the economy, and we're talking about the absence of enforcement by the U.S. government or any government against the big money interests. It's like if you have enough zeros in your bank account, you're nobility, and you are not prosecuted anymore here. And we're now getting this story coming out of the Telegraph that the oil company executives who were caught rigging oil and gasoline prices to maximize their profits are not going to be prosecuted. Not going to happen. It's sort of like if Enron happened and Ken Lay basically got a get-out-of-jail-free card, which he may have gotten. It's very strange the way he, all of a sudden, just before his arrest, he died and was quickly cremated. I would not be surprised if he's actually down there in the Caymans playing canasta. And this gets me into this very interesting story regarding a lady named Kathleen Fury, who is a former employee of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And this is from the website senseonsense.com. And basically, she was a rising star at the SEC. And then in late 2007, Fury approached the assistant regional director, George Stepaniak, her supervisor, to discuss an investigation that was supposed to be going on that seemed to be kind of floundering. And she was pointing out these investigations of investment companies and advisors on Wall Street, they just seemed to go nowhere, not at all. And Fury had a case that the specific person under suspicion at that time, and it's been redacted, but it may have been Bernie Madoff, had violated both the Investment Company Act of 1940 and the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. And Stepaniak responded that his group does not do investment management cases. In other words, this supervisor at the SEC said that two of the four major securities acts that Congress and the Code of Federal Regulations had mandated the SEC and its staff to enforce weren't being enforced. And a reminder that Bernie Madoff with the loot did what he did, cheating his own investors out of $65 billion with a B over a space of 12 years, while people like Harry Markopoulos were coming into the SEC with the evidence of fraud gift-wrapped on a silver platter. And the SEC did nothing about it year after year after year after year. The few people from the SEC who went over to Madoff's operation didn't investigate. They handed him resumes. They wanted in on the party. And this is why Wall Street is completely out of control. No matter what they do, nobody gets arrested. Madoff got arrested. Do you remember the fury at the time? It was a shock. He was cheating other Jewish people. I'm not kidding. That was in the corporate media. That was the anger and fury at him. Everybody else is fair game. None of the masterminds, none of the CEOs of all these Wall Street firms who were behind the mortgage-backed security fraud of 2008, they've not been arrested, not investigated. None of them have gone to jail. Corporate crime steals from the American society every year at least 10 times what street crime does. But Hollywood and TV shows always, oh, it's the street crime is the problem. Look at the muggers. Look at the burglars. Look at all those people. They're the problem. When was the last time that you actually saw a TV show or a film that said, oh, yeah, the banker is being really crooked? I think the last one I saw was on Miami Vice, where they were talking about this Wall Street bank where the guy's just saying, look, you know, we got to let the drugs flow or we're all going to go out of business. Maybe one of the reasons why Michael Mann was encouraged to move on in his career shortly after that episode. And it's a culture of criminality and it's a culture of fraud. And the government is completely complicit with it. And that is the exact definition of a fascist economic dictatorship. When the financial corporations and the government power are aligned together against the general public, which is you. Interesting little story over at 12160. Why can't students borrow at the same rates as banks? We've all been talking about this huge problem. These poor kids, they have gone to college, they've gone into debt, and these student loans, $100,000 debt, $150,000 debt when they come out of university, and the jobs they were told would be waiting for them aren't there. And the loan interest rates are fairly high, bordering on usurious. And yet these Wall Street firms are borrowing millions, billions of dollars from the Federal Reserve at close to 0%. Why shouldn't our students, on whom our future depends, be getting the same break? And it's a valid question to ask. Now, Pope Francis is starting to come out and make his policy statements, and he's basically come out and denounced the global financial system as a cult of money. And this is a direct quote from him. Money has to serve, not to rule. I am really starting to like this guy. And I hope the bankers don't serve him their special Pope John Paul I cup of tea. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free, at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stick upon a computer alone. MacDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint. We've drowned in fat ever since.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And as people pour through that new round of released emails from the White House, very interesting fact has come to light. The entire justification for the Department of Justice to go after the Associated Press's phone records and to tap the telephones in the United States Congress itself rested on this idea that there was a report on an article on a foiled Al-Qaeda bomb plot or bomb threat that AP got a hold of. And what's now coming out here is that the Central Intelligence Agency approved this report for publication by the Associated Press. So there was no actual crime. It's just casting that wide net. I really do think it's all about, we've got a paranoid president just like Richard Nixon, just obsessed with secrecy and controlling the leaks and making sure the American media and the American people only get what the White House says. No dissenting view, no contradictory information allowed. So, anyway. Alrighty, let's see. We're seeing more and more report about Russia and the BRICS nations. setting up their own bank, their own trade currency, and it's being spun in the American media as a direct threat against the U.S. dollar. Well, the dollar is clearly in decline. There's no question about that. And it is a self-made decline because every private central bank is a Ponzi scheme, and sooner or later, every Ponzi scheme collapses. That's just the way it is. But as I've said many times before, the Federal Reserve and the federal government are not willing to stand up there and say, boy, we really screwed this one up, didn't we? They're looking for somebody to blame, whether it's Iranian hackers or the rest of it. And so we're starting to see this propaganda campaign that Russia and the BRICS aren't doing what they're doing just for their own commerce. Now it's a direct assault on the dollar. The dollar system is under threat from Russia and all these other countries. So they're demonizing Russia. And this is a really dangerous idea to literally risk open war, potentially nuclear, with Russia and China to prop up this little piece of ink and paper. That's what it's really all about. Now, getting over to Boeing, and boy, oh boy, if I actually had any Boeing stock, I would be selling it right about now. There has been yet another problem with the 787 Dreamliner over at Nippon Airways. They were doing a test flight to see if they'd fix the problems with the batteries and the landing gear and the windows popping out. And they had a fire on board from a power distribution board. It triggered a fire alarm. It did not trigger the smoke alarm. When they landed the jet, they found this entire power distribution panel was blackened by heat. And so this airplane for... You know, and Boeing used to be a really great company. So the money junkies took it over. And the 787, you know, the flying public is very fickle. It only takes a few problems for people to say, I don't want to be on that plane. The L-1011, good aircraft until it flew into a swamp. That turned out to be pilot error. The DC-10, it's still in service, but for a long time it had a hard way of going because of that horrible crash on TV up there in Chicago, which turned out to be a maintenance problem. Michael Crichton actually wrote a very interesting book called Airframe, which I doubt will ever get made into a movie, although it would make a good movie, where he talks a lot about this stuff, about deregulation and financial pressures driving the industry in a bad direction here. Alrighty, I want to get on to the issues of the government spying, not just on Associated Press, not just on the Congress, but on you. There's been a very alarming court ruling by a federal magistrate judge in New York that basically came down and said that unless you turn your cell phone off, you have no expectation of privacy regarding your location, and government can track you by your cell phone, and presumably the shopping malls can too, they're starting to do that, without a warrant, without probable cause, without justification. They can simply tap into their computers, and either through the GPS system or the triangulation of the cellular towers, they can find out where you are, and they don't need a warrant. You are not protected by the Fourth Amendment if your cell phone is turned on. Now, as it turns out, there are commercially available devices that will jam the GPS signal and leave the telephone running. You still can be triangulated on the cell towers, but that's not quite as accurate. Now, I just heard from an expert in these issues that the FCC has now declared any GPS jammers to be illegal, because if the FBI is going to put a GPS tracker on your car, not that they need one as long as you're carrying your cell phone, by golly, you will not interfere. So we're really getting into this police state. They want to have constant cameras on you, GPS tracking, listening to you through the microphone in your cell phone. And it's kind of a double standard because they're trying to shut down going the other way. Now, we know that there have been many, many court rulings that basically take the same principle. If you're out in public, you have no expectation of privacy. And the courts have said the same applies to government officials and the police. When they're out in public doing their job on the taxpayer dollar, they have no expectation of privacy. And it is legal to take pictures and video and recordings of the police when they're doing things they ought not to be doing. Apparently, there's a big stink about a YouTube video where this police officer is simply grabbing this kid by the throat and saying, I'm going to beat the blank out of you and throw your blank in jail. And the police departments don't like that. And apparently up in Illinois, and this is going to turn out to be a test case, a guy named Michael Allison is looking at 75 years in prison for 5 counts of recording law enforcement officials without their consent. And what Illinois is doing, it's a very loose application of their eavesdropping law, where it says you may not record a conversation or a video unless both parties are informed. But the context of that law was telephones, where you do have an expectation of privacy, not out in public where everybody is there. Oh. And so there, this is going to turn out to be a test case, but this guy just took photos, videos of police doing things they ought not to be doing, looking at 75 years in jail. We're going to take a phone call. Tom in Pennsylvania, and I apologize for keeping you waiting. I actually lost track of you on my little text screen here. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know. I've come up with a whole bunch of different things because as we first got on the phone with you, by the way, good day, sir.
Yes.
Tom in Valley Forge. I just happen to have with me another Tom, the one who broke the Justice Roberts Irish adoption story that I think you posted up on your website a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I have been brainstorming on this Benghazi thing, and we've got a couple of theories here. I have a sneaking suspicion that this IRS issue that's come out about harassing the conservatives may have been done intentionally to sidetrack the attention to Benghazi.
I agree. I absolutely agree. But it's now exploded into its own scandal, and it's gone out of control.
Yeah, but I think the reason also is that I think Obama will take the bullet for any of these. No, that's a, you know what I mean? It's not literally. To protect Hillary in case she decides she wants to run, they want to try to keep her out of this as much as they can so that she can just, you know, feign ignorance and innocence and then go run for president, possibly. But...
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing in Benghazi is that my thought was that maybe this whole thing wasn't Obama's idea. This may have been the people over there in the Middle East's idea to do this, to kidnap this guy and then trade him for the Sheikh.
I disagree, and the reason for that is it's already been established that the stand-down orders for the CIA and Special Forces came from the White House. It was reported that during the confrontation at the consulate, there was a Predator drone overhead, real-timing the video to the White House, and Predator drones are not very fast. I think their top speed is something like 137 miles an hour, which means the drone was deployed to the consulate before the violence started. And so that firmly puts control, command, and communication within the U.S. government itself. And that's why this idea that somebody else did this in the Middle East, certainly in response to that ludicrous trailer, that really does not fit the available facts.
No, Michael, I'm not saying he didn't know about it. I'm just saying I don't think he came up with it originally. I think possibly that they had put this thing together, and he's watching, and if the whole thing went the way they wanted it to, then everything was fine. But when it went south, they said, look, you stand down, don't you come and kill our people, or we'll blow the whistle on you for either A, knowing about it, or B, we're going to tell them who you really are and where you, all that burger stuff. What was the Turkish ambassador doing there? Why was he there? Is he the middleman between them and Syria?
Well, again, there's allegations that facility was being used for the transfer of weapons. A lot of the weapons used in the overthrow of Libya were being covertly sent over to Syria. And obviously that would involve Turkey because those weapons are taken into Syria over the Turkish border. But again, your alternate theory to what was going on here, what I'm not seeing is a really clear motive why to disrupt whatever was going on in that consulate. With this attack on the ambassador, it really does make much more sense that this did originate within the White House. Certainly, Obama had a motive to try something to rebuild his sagging fortunes in the election season.
Well, Tom, my other buddy here, Tom, got a comment for you.
Okay.
The blind sheik is a curious thing that they've not reacted to. We know that they began the attack with a plan. We know that the Turkish ambassador left, and almost immediately thereafterwards, the attack began. And then all of a sudden, other people are being told to stand down rather than interfere with the attack. So they wanted to obtain a goal. Somebody wanted to obtain a goal by having the attack occur and not responding to it.
That's exactly what my theory is. The goal was to create an incident that was going to captivate the American media and allow Obama to look like, to basically prove he was not the new Jimmy Carter, wasn't going to let it deteriorate into a dragged out hostage situation. I think that was the goal and the agenda right from the beginning. It explains the stand down. It explains the overhead predator. And it explains what went wrong was all the Libyans living around there heard the gunfire and joined in. Turning this carefully staged managed performance into an uncontrolled riot. The ambassador got killed. That comes down as a major failure in the eyes of the media and the American people, and that's why they've been trying to backpedal and cover it up ever since.
Mike, how about the fact that the ambassador's body was taken by these supposed terrorists to a hospital? And it seems that hospital was apparently managed or controlled by that Al Sharia group or whatever that was doing the terrorist attacks.
Hang on. Let me respond to your comment. The fact that these so-called terrorists took the ambassador to the hospital tells us, you know, they knew that if he was going to die, the whole operation was going to be blown. You know, that's consistent with this stage-managed election stunt as well. They needed him alive because the goal was to have this building drama in the corporate media. Oh, hostage crisis. They've got the ambassador. And then Obama sends the SEAL team in, rescues the ambassador, and he looks like a hero for the election. Remember Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is usually the correct one. Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And we're going to get back onto some of these other stories that we're seeing here right now. Let's see. Right now in Peru, there are representatives of 11 governments meeting, attempting to find some way they can control the internet. Now, the overt explanation is, of course, we must protect copyrights. We have to deal with the content pirates. But we know what the real agenda is. Governments that rule their population with lies, fraud, deceptions, propaganda are not able to function in the age of the internet. The internet has changed the fundamental nature of information flow in society as dramatically as when Gutenberg rediscovered movable type printing. And what we're seeing as a reaction from the established power structure today mirrors almost exactly the reaction of the established power structure during Gutenberg's time. Try and get it under control. Try and keep the population away from these affordable books. And it's not going to work today any more than it worked before. The environment, the information environment, has changed. And those entities able to evolve to meet the new realities will survive. Those entities that cannot are doomed to go extinct. And the problem with the United States of America is the government is trapped by the accumulation of 200 years of fraud and deception that they must continue to reinforce or risk delegitimizing themselves. And because of that burden of accumulated lies, they can't change. They can't stand up and say, you're right, we've been lying to you for the last 200 years, but we promise we're going to do better. Nobody's going to go for that. So they're trying to figure out some way they can control the internet because the net nannies aren't really working. I actually got an email earlier today. Apparently somebody was waiting in a hospital in London, and in the waiting room they were using the Wi-Fi, and my website's blocked. It contains objectionable content. It's probably my articles about SSRIs. Anyway, I want to talk about the tyranny that is being sold to children in our public school system. And it all came out of this story from HispanicallySpeakingNews.com about a student named Sarah Bustamante's, 12 years old. And other students were picking on her and saying that she smelled funny, so she took out her little spray bottle of perfume and she sprayed herself. Nobody else. and the teacher called the police. And this 12-year-old girl was arrested for spraying perfume on herself. And this article goes on to say that in 2010, Texas police handed out 300,000 Class C misdemeanor tickets to school children as young as 6 years old. What are they turning these schools into? They're launching the police state in our educational system. Don't do anything, you'll get a ticket. Don't stand up, you'll get a ticket. Don't dress different, you'll get a ticket. Don't put perfume on, you'll get a ticket. Don't point your finger at somebody and go bang, you'll get expelled. If you want to look at the future of our nation as the money junkies want it, you go look at this abuse of our kids in these educational indoctrination centers. We'll be right back.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it, not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our Republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Leroy lives in a cardboard box down by the Mission Bell, where saints refuse to go and the sinners wish him well. Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war, thought that he would be among the sick and poor. The preacher man wags his head while the rich man turns away. His mother looks on weeping, teardrops of blood are
falling.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And Dan is now in our control room, ready to answer the phones. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. A little bit of good news coming out. We were talking about this incident down in Florida where this young girl, star pupil, science enthusiast, looking forward to a wonderful life, conducted a little bit of a science demonstration outside the school, not in the buildings, away, did it safely, resulted in a little bit of a poof, if you will. The only damage was to an 8-ounce plastic water bottle that she was using as the test vessel. Kicked out of school and arrested 2 weeks ago. Well, the good news is the courts realized this was just a kid experimenting with science, no harm intended, and the charges have all been dropped. This teenager is now attending classes at an alternate school and may be allowed to go back to the school where she was. And it's another reminder of this incredible, intense overreaction to just crush the kids down so they're not thinking experimentally, they're not thinking outside the U.S. federal government-approved curriculum. And that's why I keep saying our educational system is not about education any longer. It's about indoctrination. I mean, they're pounding into these kids constantly, global warming, global warming. You're all to blame. You will grow up to pay carbon taxes, and you will grow up to obey a global environmental authority, even as it's obvious that whole global warming nonsense was a load of crap. But they're just pounding on these kids, and this idea of the police coming in and arresting kids for spraying themselves with perfume, what is the rationale for that? I want to even see the law under which they wrote that ticket. They're bringing about the police state, starting with our kids. And we have to be angry and alarmed about that. These kids don't deserve to be treated this way. Nobody in America does, but especially the kids. What kind of adults are they going to grow up into being treated like this? And then you go back to the history books and you look at how the schools were treating the kids in Nazi Germany. And you see a lot of similarities. Just obey. Do what you're told. Never question authority. It's the same model all over again. I think the U.S. government is using Dictatorship for Dummies, authored by Adolf Hitler. Now, we've been talking about all these officers, these sexual harassment prevention officers in the military. They're getting arrested for sexual harassment. And the latest embarrassment is down at Fort Hood in Texas, where the U.S. military officer overseeing sexual harassment prevention is now under investigation for running a prostitution ring. Oh, boy, Army strong. We'll be right back after station identification.